is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Hotel Mars, Episode N. David Livingston, Dr. Space himself of the Space Show, is here as my colleague and co-host and co-pilot. We're going to Mars. We're already there. We welcome Kevin Hand. He is at the Jet Propulsion Lab at Caltech. He's the director of Ocean Worlds Lab, as well as a PI on the experiment called Sherlock on board Perseverance, the Mars 2020 mission, the rover now on Mars. And therein is the source of a mystery to be solved eventually when we get the rocks collected by Perseverance back on Earth, or we go there ourselves. Kevin, a very good evening to you. It's exciting to talk to you about the possibilities of what Perseverance has found so far. It's called the Chayava Falls Rock. What is it, Kevin? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John and David. Pleasure to be with you. And yeah, exciting times for exploring the red planet. Perseverance is the first leg of a series of missions that will someday get samples back to Earth, where we can then look at those samples in great detail for signs of past life on Mars, and also to study the past planetary evolution of Mars. And so this rock that we've been studying over the past couple few weeks, Chayava Falls, as you mentioned, we've already got a sample of it. The sample we call Sapphire, and so a little pencil size sample is collected in the belly of Perseverance rover right now. And the reason this sample is so exciting and that we need to get it back to Earth for further study is that this rock and the formation in which this rock was found seems to check the box on a lot of the keystones for habitability. If we think about what life as we know it needs, life as we know it, life here on Earth, needs liquid water, the elements for building life, and some form of energy to power life, to get the business of life done. And the Chayava rock that we sampled and have investigated with our instruments, it is a rock that is down at the bottom of a river valley. So we can look at Mars and we see this river valley cutting into Jezero Crater. And so billions of years ago, this rock was at the bottom of a flowing river. So that checks the box of liquid water. Then with our instruments, we found that these rocks, which may well be fine-grained sedimentary rocks laid down from the river, these rocks contain a lot of the elements that life needs. We found sulfur and phosphorus and even carbon in these rocks. And then the last, so that checks the box on the elements that life needs to build the structures of life. And then the last keystone is energy. Is there some form of chemical or photon-driven energy that that life could have utilized within these rocks? And of course, you know, when we think about life on Earth, on the surface of the Earth, we've got energy from the sun. Photosynthesis forms the base of the food chain. But in a lot of places in the deep ocean or in various hot springs on Earth, microbes do what's called chemosynthesis, utilizing the chemical energy of its surroundings to then harness the energy needed for life. And what's exciting about Chayava and the surrounding rocks is that the mineralogy seems to be consistent with a suite of minerals from which ancient life could have, if it was around, harnessed some energy in a way not unlike the way some microbes on Earth harness energy from minerals and hot springs and other environments. So we've got the liquid water, we've got the elements, and we've got the energy. And then with the Sherlock instrument, we think we have found indications of organic compounds. In other words, carbon attached to carbon. And our instrument can't tell us too much about the details of those organics. And that's why we got to get it back to Earth to look at this sample in detail, to really tease out that story of whether or not these rocks once hosted past life on Mars.
Dr. Space?
With all the rocks that have been viewed and analyzed to some degree, perhaps not as much as Sherlock and Perseverance, and this is the only one that seems to raise these kinds of questions and this kind of excitement. So would this indicate that we either haven't looked at enough rocks correctly or with enough analysis, or past life, if it was there, might be extremely rare and you just have one rock out of thousands or millions that would indicate it? Can you make that kind of determination?
Well, David, you're correct in that this particular rock is really quite salient and exciting. But it's important to note that the Curiosity rover, much of the way on the other side of Mars, it has found organics. And that discovery was really quite exciting a number of years ago. But Curiosity is not sampling those rocks to then cache them and bring them back to Earth. And so what's particularly exciting about Chayava and the sapphire sample that we got with Perseverance is the prospect of getting this rock back through the Mars Sample Return mission and having the opportunity to utilize the most capable instruments on Earth to search for hints of past life that may have once existed on Mars. And we've got a suite of other samples that we've collected over the past, 4 years with Perseverance on Mars. And many of those samples check the boxes that I mentioned earlier and are really compelling in the context of hosting possible signs of past life. But Chayava was just so dramatic in its presentation on the ground. These rocks were kind of brighter, a little bit brighter than a lot of the other rocks. As I mentioned, it was down in this river valley. And then the signals that we saw, both mineralogically and potentially in terms of organic chemistry, those really cause our excitement to go up to a new level. So we've got lots of great samples, all of which, or at least most of which, I hope we get back to Earth. And then this sample is particularly intriguing given its context and what we're seeing with the Sherlock instrument.
I'm following the reporting on Science Magazine. White veins of calcium sulfate, also indication of iron and phosphate. All good. Yeah. And yet there's this outlier, olivine crystals, suggesting volcanic eruption. Is that logical? Or we're looking for why it isn't what we think it is? Is that how we're doing it?
Yeah. So, John, that those olivine crystals tell a different part of the story that we're still trying to understand. And it's a little bit complicated, but let me see if I can summarize it briefly. We've got, and this is all very preliminary, we're still sorting through the data to try and figure out the geologic sequence and what happened in the past. But in one version of what may have happened, you can imagine that this ancient river laid down the sediments that formed the layers that we see at Chayava and in the larger region that we've called Bright Angel. And then following on that period of sedimentation, perhaps a volcanic eruption occurred and flowed down over that package of sediments. Or maybe there was some sort of hydrothermal activity and an eruption from deep below that flowed magma or hot rocks of some sort out onto those sediments. And so some of my colleagues hypothesize that the olivine crystals that we're seeing in association with the sulfate veins, et cetera, might be indicative of past lava flows that came after the sedimentary period. But we're still scratching our heads on exactly how to untangle that geologic story.
Understanding then, the Noachian age, the oldest, the first billion, mm-hmm. that would be the water, and the volcano came afterwards. Is that the speculation?
Yeah, it's a you're spot on, John, and some of this time sequencing gets at exactly why we need to get these samples back
right,
to Earth.
Right, right. David, we have time for a question.
From what you know so far, or what you hope to find, would you be able to describe the type of past life it's indicating was on Mars?
Yeah, that's a great question, David. And it's here things get a little tricky, because on Earth, when we look in Archean rocks, very old rocks on Earth, not that much material survives. So in billions of year old rocks on Earth, you do not find DNA or RNA or ATP or any of the large biomolecules of life as we know it. What we do find are the ancient molecular records of the membranes of the lipid molecules that form the kind of cell container of ancient life. And we see some inorganic remnants of ancient microbes, and we see some isotopic indicators of past life on Earth. And so when it comes to what we'll look for in these samples, we'll take a look at the details of any organics in these rocks. We'll take a look at any curious inorganic mineralogical features that may have been formed by ancient life. And we'll also look at any partitioning of atoms and elements due to isotopic fractionation that could be associated with biological activity. Just as one example, I like to say that life on Earth is enlightened. What do I mean by that? Well, life on Earth, relative to the inorganic material, we contain by proportionality more carbon-12 than rocks. Rocks have more carbon-13 in them than life forms do on a pound for pound basis. And so if you see a depletion in carbon-13 in some material from Mars or some material from ancient Earth, that in and of itself is a bit of an indicator of possible past life. So we can look for a light carbon isotopic signature. Now, there's all sorts of complexities to that, but that's at least one example of how we look for ancient signs of life in the oldest rocks on Earth, and that could be a useful tool for us once we get these samples back.
We're speaking to Dr. Kevin Hand, the JPL at Caltech, director of the Ocean Worlds Lab, and the PI on Sherlock, which is giving us these mysteries that's on board the rover Perseverance. When we come back, Kevin has spoken of the Mars sample return. That costs $11 billion. We're going to give him a lot more than that. Dream the dreams of an unlimited budget for the search for life and all the other mysteries. David Livingston, Dr. Space. This is Hotel Mars. I'm John Batchelor.